We're live from the Oxygen Community Studios on this Monday afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, thanks for hanging out with us here on this first Monday after a Cardinals game, preseason game, but it still gave us some stuff to talk about. And now we've got another one coming up on Friday. The Kansas City Chiefs will presumably get more information over the course of the week about who's going to play and who's not going to play. There, of course, were a lot of guys missing. But we already got a little information about who's not going to play this week. This is Cliff Kingsbury earlier today updating the guys who are returning off of the COVID list for the Arizona Cardinals. And there certainly were a few of them. James Conner, Darrell Daniels, Leki Fotu, Charles Washington. They're all off the list. Andy Isabella isn't, and that's what led Cliff Kingsbury to answer this way when talking about the guys who returned.
These guys were in the protocol and good to get them back, James and Darrell, Chuck Washington, and there's one more, but Leki, yeah. So, you know, it was tough for those guys to sit out those days, but they were virtually, you know, still involved, and so I'm sure they had to knock some rust off today, but I thought they looked fine.
Andy have to spend 10 days on protocol?
That's fair to say.
So he won't play?
He won't.
So he won't play? No, he won't. That was the end of that soundbite.
So he's going to have to make the team on reputation. He's going to have to make the team on. I was a second-round draft pick, and I'm really fast. I mean, he's not going to make the team based on – he's not practicing right now. He's not playing in the first preseason game, the second preseason game. Maybe he plays in the third. I almost think it would take somebody – to beat him out. I think he's solidified as the sixth guy. But I think it would take somebody who's 7, 8, or 9 to just blow them away over a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, for him not to get it. My gut feeling, I think Andy Isabella makes this roster. I'd bet a lunch on it. He's going to make the roster, even if he's not playing. Second round pick, has a lot of speed. I think that he makes the roster.
I would not take that bet against you.
Okay.
My gut feeling is, like you, that he makes this roster, that he ends up on this team, because I think that they're going to keep six wide receivers, and I just don't know if there's going to be a sixth that's better than him.
If there was a camp battle between like the sixth and the seventh guy, Isabella was sixth, another guy was seventh, and the guy at seven was good, okay, he doesn't make it.
Right. Like, I just don't know who that guy is. I don't know if that guy's on this roster. I don't know if there's a seventh guy out there at the wide. Now, I think the one thing that could put his spot in jeopardy as if they only keep five wide receivers.
Then he's done.
I mean, if they keep five, I think Keyshawn Johnson's in over him.
I agree.
And that's going to be that.
I agree.
And I think if I were Andy Isabella, I would worry about that more than anything. I wouldn't be worried about my own shaky status going into preseason game number two, and I wouldn't be worried about guy number seven on the roster coming to get my spot number six. I would be worried about a coach in an organization that's only going to keep five wide receivers. And if that happens, I don't think Andy Isabella is going to be on this roster.
Listen, if he gets cut, he's getting picked up. Okay. He'll be one of those guys. You know, teams scour the waiver wires and see if Andy Isabella gets cut, somebody's going to say, okay, second round pick, I'm going to take this kid. I don't think he's out of the league. He's playing.
Now, you bring up something I hadn't thought about yet.
The waiver wire. Could they find somebody better than him on the waiver wire?
If it's truly a battle, if the first five are set and Keyshawn is number five,
okay,
you and I have both been doing this long enough to know that when the final roster comes out, that is not the final roster.
No.
That is not anywhere near the final roster, right? And so Andy Isabella not playing in these games, it might not jeopardize his status to make the initial 53-man roster, but it might jeopardize his status as the first one to go if somebody better is available that gets cut from an NFL roster. Because remember, cutdowns are a little different this year in the NFL. They're going to cut five guys tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
Okay.
They have the Australian kid, so they don't have to cut down. Because of that,
they get the extra roster spot
because they got the Australian kid. Yeah.
Yeah. They cut five tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Cut five next Tuesday after the second preseason game.
And then the big one.
Now, normally, in the NFL, typically cut down weekend is Labor Day weekend. And I know it because it doesn't matter. But typically, it's that Saturday or Sunday when you find out what the final cuts are.
I don't want to tell you
I just know it because I remember it from all the years that we've done shows. The Cardinals would play their last preseason game on that Thursday before Labor Day.
Okay.
we would do a show on Friday, speculate about who was going to get cut, who wasn't going to get cut. And then over that weekend, it would happen.
While you're sitting there having some wine out by the pool, somebody gets cut.
Somebody gets cut. Yeah. It's going to be different this year. That's I wasn't trying to be like secretive about how I know. I thought it was a long story that didn't need to be told because it didn't really matter. This year, we will know the final Cardinals roster 2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll know. And so when those final cutdowns are made, man, if there's somebody out there better that the Cardinals like more than Andy Isabella, Andy Isabella's not safe on this roster, even if he makes that initial cutdown.
Yeah. You know, you look at a position like you keep talking about cornerback. That might be a great area for them. You know, I like Marco Wilson and, you know, Denard. You know, he's been out, but I think Denard's got a shot. But I think if a cornerback gets released from a, you know, some teams have better depth at cornerback than you do. So they're going to cut a guy that they actually like that might be your fourth best guy, but right. It's that team's seventh best guy.
Right.
And then so you grab that guy. So, there's also the waiver wire list too. Like there's going to be a bunch of teams when you finish a couple of years ago, they had the number one option on the waiver wire.
To win a claim a guy, right.
Right. Yeah. Is that where they got Tanner Vallejo?
That is where they got Tanner Vallejo,
so, I think. You know, they're not going to have the first choice, but they'll be in a position somewhere in the middle to pick up guys that get.
Yeah, they got a few guys when they had the number one choice on the waiver wire. So, so I'll admit that the roster, if you just look at it in a vacuum, Andy Isabella probably doesn't need to play in these games as long as they keep six. Andy Isabella does need to play in these games because his competition might be some dude who's about to get cut from Cleveland. Or some guy who's about to get cut from the Miami Dolphins, and he doesn't even know who he's competing against right now. So Andy Isabella not being able to play because of COVID is going to hurt him at some point because he needs to get out there and show his worth to this organization.
Could be.
You know?
Could be.
We'll see.
So he should be 10 days. He should be back. Okay, he's not going to. He'll probably be back right after that game against Kansas City.
Probably.
Which
gives him one more to play.
Gives him a week, couple of weeks to practice and a game to get in.
Yeah, but
I think he's safe. But I wouldn't be, again. I'm not betting a mortgage payment on it. But I think he makes this roster.
So while the future of Andy Isabella with the Cardinals could be in jeopardy, Eno Benjamin is a different story. And after Friday night, the former Sun Devil running back is making a pretty strong case to be on the final roster. We'll tell you about it next at the Burns and Gambo Show. Our friends over at CardsWire.com put together a brief list based off of Friday's preseason opener against the Cowboys. Whose stock rose and fell for the Cardinals in the opener? The very first name on the list in terms of guys whose stock rose, Eno Benjamin.
Yes.
50 yards rushing, a TD, 38-yard rush in which he made a beautiful cutback. He returned kicks. On average, what, 28 yards per return?
Three kicks, 28-yard return average.
Yep. And even on the ones he wasn't returning, he was still out there in punt coverage, kickoff coverage. He was doing what a third or fourth string running back needs to do to make a roster, showing that he can not only run the football, but that he can contribute on special teams because that's what he's going to have to do.
Second quarter, 4:18 left. He has that 6-yard touchdown run untouched. Got a good block by a guy named Sean Harlow. Went in untouched. The 38-yard cutback run early in the third quarter, that started on the Cardinals' 41-yard line. He wasn't touched until he hit the 25-yard line. It was almost a touchdown. That would have been amazing. But he was, that's 25, 34 yards untouched. So a couple of those plays, just great speed, great vision to make those runs, and in the return, he had a 24-yard return, a 35-yard return, a 25-yard return. So he took advantage of that opportunity, right? He took advantage of that opportunity, and now what you say is like, okay, now do it again.
Do it again.
Here we go, Kansas, do it again.
Yep.
You know, let's go make this roster. Prove that you deserve an opportunity to be the third back. Well, you'll probably get some carries. You'll get some opportunities if you're the third back.
Yeah, it's not just enough to do it in one game. You got to show it game after game, practice after practice. Although Cliff Kingsbury, after Friday's preseason opener against Dallas, spoke very highly of Eno Benjamin.
We've always known what he can do when the ball's in his hands. I mean, he's a dynamic runner, has great vision, great feet, exceptional for the position. And last year was unfortunate for him that he didn't get those preseason reps, but he's done a really nice job in camp. Much more focused, much more dialed in, and is playing at a high level.
It is just crazy to think that a guy in Eno Benjamin, one of the better to best running backs that ASU has seen in the last 20 to 30 years. The dude hadn't played a football game since November 30th of 2019. Didn't play a lick last year. No preseason for him because there were no preseason games for anybody. He didn't get on the field at all in any of the Cardinals games. The last time he played was the last time he as a Sun Devil played against the Wildcats on November 30th, 2019, which, by the way, he had 168 yards rushing and two touchdowns. So,
and that was before the 70 to, what was the final score of that game last year? 70-something.
Well, he wasn't on that last year's team. I'm talking about 2 years
ago. I'm saying this. That was before the last memory
you have of ASU-U of A is ASU trashing them 70-something of whatever it was.
Yeah, 70-7, I believe, is what the billboard says on the way down to Tucson. Yeah, I mean.
Right, I remember when we had Jed Fish on, the new coach, like, hey, if I say this score to you, what do you say? Never again. Never again. Yeah. Like, that's, yeah, I mean, that was a year before that. I mean, listen, Tyler Gilbert didn't pitch last year. He throws a no-hitter, right, his first start. You know, Benjamin didn't play last year. He has a good game. Look, there's a lot of guys that didn't have the preseason last year, but at least they had the regular season. Didn't have the preseason or regular season. He didn't dress for any games. But you got to stay in shape. You got to wait for your opportunity. There's some guys in college, hey, I'm not going to play this year because I'm going to get ready for the NFL. They miss a year. So it's not crazy. There's been plenty of guys that have missed a year and then come back. For him, it's the most important thing is take advantage of this opportunity. Take advantage of it. Show them that you're capable. I thought he was a fantastic running back at ASU. Talked about this, I think, maybe on Friday. He was just such a great ASU running back. And I remember watching him play in college thinking, this guy's going to make it in the NFL. Yeah. He's going to make it because he's that good.
He was good. We'll see what he can do this Friday against Kansas City with even more opportunity and another chance to prove himself. But he certainly was somebody who stood out. And most importantly, he'll have to continue the good works on special teams. Other things that stood out to us, in addition to what we've already talked about. We've already talked about Kyler not playing, what we both thought about that, how at the end of the day it wasn't really that big of a deal,
no.
Just that Cliff needed to be a little clearer or maybe even less clear about it at the beginning of the week.
I'd say less clear. Say, listen, this is, you know, we'll evaluate day by day and make a decision the day before the game whether he plays or not. And then, you know, nobody can say anything. I mean, that's just, you know.
I didn't care that he didn't play.
No, me either.
It just looked odd when we were given the expectation that he was going to. The quarterbacks who did play in Colt McCoy and Chris Streveler,
good.
Cliff Kingsbury was very happy.
Colt did a nice job operating. First time ever playing in that offense in a game-type situation, and handled himself well, made good decisions, got out of his hand, worked the operation. And then Strev, just very scrappy there at the end. I mean, made play after play, was getting knocked around and kept getting up, kept fighting, and found a way at the end. So that was fun for him.
Yeah, Colt McCoy, I thought, played very, very well in the time. What was it, a quarter and a half or so that he was out there?
Yeah, six out of seven, 69 yards. Had the one pass to Christian Kirk, which was a thing of beauty. That was a great play, right, to see Christian Kirk. That was his only catch, but it was a big play down the sideline. I like that. He put that right in there. Look, nothing against, you know, Brent Hundley, but this is a different level of backup quarterback. This is a guy I think you feel like you really trust this guy. You know, like if they would have had Colt McCoy last year, they might have been in the playoffs.
I do not disagree
with that. I think I could truly say that. If Colt McCoy had been their quarterback last year, they would have been in the playoffs. I would have trusted him to win one of those games. So I would have trusted him against the Rams to come through and make some plays. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. He's got a lot of experience. Been around this league for a long time. Listen, you're not going to want this guy to be your quarterback for 16 games. But what you're asking at a backup quarterback is, hey, if you've got to come in for a series, if you've got to come in for a quarter, if you've got to come in and play two games, I need you to give this team a chance to win. You feel that with Colt McCoy, like he'll give you a chance to win.
When Cliff pulled me out, I just told him, like, man, that was fun. Like, it's really good. You know, frustrating that we went on a 16-play drive and ended up with only 3 points. You know, I've got to be better to get the ball in the end zone. But overall, we didn't help ourselves with a couple penalties there, but we got it back and made a good drive before those guys got yanked. But it was just good to get out there. Great to experience some fans. It feels like football is normal again.
The thing about Streveler, and this in particular made our producer Jordan Bird very, very unhappy during show prep, is Chris Streveler, if you didn't know this, was the Cardinals' leading rusher on Friday night with 55 yards. If only he had run for more than the 12 yards he ran for in that game against the Rams,
That's what he's out there to do. He's not out there to throw the ball 16 times like he did in that game against the Rams. He had three rushes in that game against the Rams. He's out there to run.
What's your best attribute? I'm a great running quarterback. Okay, we're not going to have you run.
I mean, do you remember in the moment how silly that all, I mean, sure. His best attribute is his ability to run the football, and that's the one thing you didn't have him do in that must-win game against the Rams? Didn't make any sense.
No, it's just, and this is where Cliff has to get better. I mean, you got to be better, right? If you're Cliff, you got to be better at this. This is late game execution and late season execution.
Yes.
Late season execution. Right, I mean, didn't you? What was the
5-11 after the month of November?
That was your stat from a week ago. 5-11 after November, like, you know, you've seen, and that was your second time seeing this team. Devise a game plan; it gives you a chance to win. Like, you know, you should be better the second time around.
Yep, and what Chris Streveler showed now on when the regular season starts. I don't think they're going to have three active quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, on the 47-man roster going
into
the game.
Very unlikely. Very unlikely.
I mean, that's a luxury that a lot of teams can't afford. I hope Colt McCoy is the backup quarterback to Kyler Murray, because he should be. I don't want to do another thing like last year.
He will be.
Whether it, you know, where it was Chris Streveler all the time. So it does – I can see what a unique set of gifts Streveler has on a football field. I just don't know when he's going to get a chance to use them.
You know, he would – if you had him on the 53-man roster – he would be a perfect situational guy. You know, come in for kind of the way ASU tried to use that Eubanks kid a couple of years ago. You know, I could put a couple of packages in just for him that can confuse a defense and maybe get me a big play or get me a yard if I need a yard. I mean, I could see that. But it's unlikely, if he's not the backup, that he's going to be on a 53-man roster. So, you know, I think the only way to really use, and I think that they will have some packages for him, but that would only be if he ends up being the backup. He's only going to be the backup if he beats out Colt McCoy. That's not going to happen. Or if somebody gets hurt, then he could also be the backup.
Unless you do it like New Orleans Saints did it 2 years ago, where Drew Brees was the starter, Winston was the backup, and Taysom Hill was the third quarterback, and he was active on game days, and they just found ways to use him. Now, he had a different skill set than Streveler. He ran the ball. I mean, I don't know if Streveler can do all of that, but I agree with you. I just don't know where Streveler is going to get the chance to show off his stuff on a Sunday when you know Colt McCoy needs to be your backup quarterback and you really don't want to keep a third guy active. I just don't know how he's going to get those looks. It's too bad, too, because I think he could do some things for you on a Sunday and just type packages you're talking about.
Yeah,
I just don't know if you want to take the risk of having him take a roster spot from somebody else.
No, you probably don't. Yeah. I mean, for one or two plays to give up a roster spot for somebody that might be able to help you on special teams, you probably don't do that.
It wasn't just Chris Paul who was dealing with injuries for the Suns during the NBA Finals. According to Monty Williams, Devin Booker was hobbled as well. You'll hear from the head coach next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadaro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We never wander too far away from the Suns. They continue to give us plenty of stuff to talk about. By the way, since we're talking about the Suns, I will mention this right now, and I had this up just a second ago, and I lost it. But Jalen Smith not playing in the Summer League finale today. According to Suns Summer League coach Brian Randle, Jalen Smith wasn't hurt. A decision was just made for him not to play tonight as the Suns feel Smith got what he needed out of the Summer League in terms of getting reps, gaining confidence, and proving to himself that he can play in the NBA. I'm reading off of Dwayne Rankin's Twitter account.
Okay.
There were some eyebrows raised. Why Jalen Smith, clearly such a developmental player,
wouldn't
get one extra game in when it's the last game you're going to play for a couple of months. Seems counterintuitive to me. Some speculated on Twitter, and this was just pure speculation, that maybe a trade was coming down the pike.
Don't want to get him hurt.
Want to save him just in case. Some had speculated that. Again, Brian Randle.
Listen, if you get the right deal, I'm in favor of trading him.
I would be too.
If you get the right deal, I'm not, you know, oh my, he's the future. You got to keep him. I mean, he's a nice piece, you know, to trade. If you could find somebody that fits,
yep,
that you like. Yeah, that could be a good piece going back to entice somebody to make a deal.
Absolutely. And especially if you could find maybe a more veteran backup player at that position. I'd have no problem trading Jalen Smith for that guy. None, man. This Suns this season is all about, you know, next year and the year after that and winning in this window. And if they had the opportunity to do it, I would have nothing. I'd have no problems with that at all. But they're just saying, nope, he's good, got everything he needed out of it, and that's that. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, was on the Woj podcast on Friday. Said a lot of interesting stuff in that podcast, especially about Devin Booker. Take your mind back to Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Suns are getting clobbered by Milwaukee. Devin Booker's not playing well at all. And in the fourth quarter, down by 22, Devin Booker never checks back into the game. Every other starter did. Devin Booker didn't. And the next day, the headlines were flying around. We didn't frame it like this, but he got benched. People were talking about Devin Booker got benched last night in Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
We never brought that up.
We never used that word. We talked about what happened, but we never used the word benched. Here's what happened, according to Monty Williams. This is from the Woj podcast.
You know, people didn't know that Book was dealing with a hamstring deal in Game 3, and he got all kinds of flack for what he couldn't do, and what people didn't understand was he was basically out there playing on one leg. And those guys, because they are tough and never want to rely on excuses, wouldn't say anything. And that part bothered me because I heard all the stuff that was being said about Devin and Chris in the finals.
And yet Devin and Chris didn't want Monty to tell everybody what was actually going on with them. And so Monty covered him and didn't say what was actually going on.
They started that quarter. I think that they were down 22.
I believe that is correct.
22 points when they started that quarter. And then as the quarter goes along, you look and you say, okay, a little bit later, they're still down 21. A little bit later, they're down 19, okay, but then it's back up to 20. You go through it, and at one point it's 108-84 with 7 minutes and 42 seconds left. You're like, you're down 24 points. Why the hell would you bring Devin? There was never a run by the Phoenix Suns that got him back in the game. 6 minutes and 42 seconds left, they're down by 20, you know? So there was just never a point where you say, okay, I got to get this guy back in the game. 5 minutes left, you're down by 22. There was no reasons to bring Devin. If you would have made a little bit of a run, you could have made the argument, if they cut it to 10, oh, Booker's got to get in. They cut it to 10.
Sure.
And maybe he would have played.
And I'm sure he would have.
But because the lead was always in the 20s, 19, 22, like there was no reason to bring him back. Matter of fact, I remember that game very well saying, they got to get Chris Paul out now. Why is Chris Paul still on the court with 6 minutes left in the game? Get him out of there.
Yeah, and you know this, the only reason why it was a thing was because Devin Booker was the only starter to not play. He was the only one who wasn't out there in the fourth quarter. Like if Monty's waving the white flag and saying, okay, we're going to live to fight another day, then to your point, get Chris out of that game.
5 minutes and 20 seconds left, they subbed Chris Paul out and they brought in Torrey Craig. At the same point, they took out Jay Crowder. So they took out Jay Crowder and Chris Paul with 5 minutes and 20 seconds left. They're down by 23 at that point. They never made a run. Like, I could have made an argument that you could have taken him out a little bit earlier, but they got them out with 5 minutes and 20 seconds left. There was never a chance to put Booker back into the game.
Yeah.
If you're saying, look, I'm going to give you a couple minutes in the fourth. Let's see if we make a run without you. They never made a run without him.
Yep.
There was no reason to put him back.
It was just a question of the other starters being out there. Why isn't Devin out there with the other starters? And now we come to find out it was a hamstring injury. And now we come to find out that Monty was protecting Booker because Booker didn't want everyone to know he had a hamstring injury. Monty was protecting Chris Paul. Chris Paul didn't want everyone to know that he had a wrist injury. And we suspected that with Paul. We didn't know about the hamstring injury with Booker. As far as regrets go, I remember surprising you a little bit in the days after the finals when I mentioned to you kind of the what if moments for me of the NBA finals.
Okay.
Whether it was, you know, game 4, what if Devin Booker doesn't get in foul trouble? Game 5, what if they play better when Devin Booker's on the bench? Remember they went up 32-16 in game 5 and then so for me those what if moments. Monty still thinks about those, but what he thinks about is the fourth quarter of game 6, so the last quarter of basketball the Suns played this year.
I've gone back to that moment a ton the past few weeks trying to figure out, you know, anything that I could have done in that moment, because all you have to do is win one quarter, which is a tough task on the road against the best team in the NBA. And you go through a ton of mental gymnastics and try to figure out something you could have said or a play you could have run or an adjustment. And, you know, that's something that will probably stay with me for a long time.
What's funny about it to me is that even though the Suns had a 5-point lead at halftime of Game 6, and even though they were tied at the end of three quarters in Game 6, Gambo, Game 6 to me is not the what-if moment of the NBA Finals. I never think of Game 6 as the what-if moment.
I mean, it was such a close game. I mean, it really was.
I should think about Game 6 as a what-if moment, but I don't, you know?
Two-point game with 8 minutes left to go in a game.
Yeah. I always think of Game 4, and I always think of Game 5.
Never think
of 6. Nope.
They pulled away, and it was just kind of like you hung... That fourth quarter, close, 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 close. You hang around, and all of a sudden, you know, Giannis tips in a layup, and now they're up by four. Then Giannis hits a free throw, and he hits another free throw, and then another free throw, and then another free throw, and then Portis scores. And all of a sudden, this close game is it's 6 points, it's 8 points with 3.5 left. And at that point, I remember it's like that's it.
Yeah.
Like with 3 minutes left, you know, 3.5 minutes left, they're down by 8. And then with 2 minutes left, they're down by 6. And you just felt like, okay, that was it. They weren't close enough in those final 3 minutes to make that run.
It didn't help that Giannis was playing out of his mind in that fourth quarter either. Time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Want to see a no-hitter tonight?
I do want to see. It's great when you know a no-hitter is on your TV scheduled before, you know, hours in advance.
Yeah.
Bally Sports Arizona is replaying Tyler Gilbert's.
You want to hear something
cool?
Yeah, what's that? Topps Baseball Cards is producing a special limited edition Tyler Gilbert card.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yep. Breaking news for you right there. Topps will produce a special limited edition Tyler Gilbert card.
Maybe that one will go for $6 million like that Honus Wagner card did over the weekend, right? Yes, Bally Sports Arizona. There's no live D-backs baseball on tonight, but they are replaying the no-hitter from Saturday night tonight at 6:30. Our friends over at Bally Sports Arizona. When we come back, we are nearing the conclusion of our first day of our Phoenix Children's Hospital Give-A-Thon, but you still have time to donate. We'll tell you how you can participate. We'll get a look at our tote board next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Give-A-Thon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going to update the tote board a little later on in this segment on the show. We do this every single year, raising awareness, creating conversation, raising funds for Phoenix Children's Hospital. Man, they mean so much to us here in this community, and we've had such a great experience throughout the years, helping to tell their story, tell the stories of their patients, raise money for them. It is an absolute treasure in our community that we have one of the best children's hospital in the world in our backyard, and we have to protect that, Gambo. That's what the Give-A-Thon is always all about.
I always say this. You may not have had to go to PCH with your children, but I bet you know somebody that did. Almost everybody I know knows somebody that knows somebody that was affected and had to go to PCH.
No question about it.
You know, I know people. You know people. We all know people that, you know, hey, I didn't have to take my kids there, but I know somebody that did, and PCH was great, and it really helped. And you know, there's kids in there with cancer. There's kids in there with brain injuries and heart defects, and they do a fantastic job. And that hospital is very expensive to run because they don't turn any kids away. They don't turn any families away. So, you know, that's why the community needs to step up this time of year and really help this hospital out.
We rely on donations from our listeners. We also rely on check presentations from our great partners. And we've got one here from our friends over at Howard Air.
Hi, my name is Justin Hathaway, Sales and Marketing Manager with Howard Air. We are so excited and proud to be a part of this year's Giveathon with the Phoenix Children's Hospital. We've been a proud partner for since 2012 with a lifetime giving of over $100,000 to date. This year, we're so proud to be given another $10,000. Thanks to our partnered vendors, thanks to our clients as well. We really want to encourage the community to call the phone bank at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon. On behalf of Howard Air, thank you, Phoenix Children's Hospital, for being there for our community to provide hope, strength, and to change kids' health and to change the future.
Thank you to Howard Air for their $10,000
donation right
there.
That's what we like to hear right there.
Absolutely.
We're in the audience right now.
And it's all for stories like that of Lucas. Lucas had a family vacation at Disneyland turn into a terrifying ordeal for a family when the toddler's parents noticed his extremities had started to swell and turn purple. Learn more about PCH patient Lucas's battle against a rare, life-threatening genetic disorder and how he earned the coolest nickname of all time, the Overcomer. Here's Lucas's story.
Hi, I'm Randy Gomez.
And I'm Emily Gomez, and this is Lucas's story. We were looking forward to a day at Disneyland, one of our first big family vacations. Lucas was not feeling well.
8 o'clock in the evening, we realized that, I mean, his legs were swollen, his feet were swollen, and it was, like, hard.
We ended up in the hospital.
His heart was enlarged.
They were afraid that he wasn't going to make it through the night because they hadn't seen a heart like that. And their goal was to get him stable enough to fly us closer to home.
Standing there over him, you know, I'm a mess, I'm crying, and I'm just like, man, I wish I could take his place.
I actually had a breakdown and told Randy that there was no way I could live life without Lucas.
You're gonna drive a kiss and throw a punch and grow up way too fast. You're gonna drop the ball, hit the wall, and break some hearts like glass. I know you will.
Me and my girls ended up having to leave. The whole drive from LA to Phoenix was quite a blur.
They flew us out to PCH after 5 days of him spending it in the ICU. We get to Phoenix Children's Hospital. They apparently had a plan before we even knew a plan. Genetics played such a major role. Lucas was confirmed to have Barth syndrome, which is a genetic mitochondrial life-threatening disorder. A scary diagnosis. You know, a lot of these boys don't even make it to see the age of 3. Heart transplant rolled off their tongues pretty quickly. They told us that we had quite a long road ahead of us.
I truly believe that, you know, God placed us in Arizona for a reason, and that reason was PCH, to be like family to us.
Lucas literally was given the best team, and they just knew what to do right away. The fact that they have seen and heard of Barth syndrome, it's really what saved his life.
When you're going through that journey, it feels like the longest time ever. One day you turn around and wow, look where we're at now.
We just learned for the first time in 2 years, Lucas's counts actually went up close to normal. They're not completely normal, but it's the highest number we've ever seen. He's really come a long way in such a short time that I think it's kind of wowed us all. He's grown a lot, and that's all because of Phoenix Children's Hospital.
When he ate his first pancake,
Huge.
We just got so emotional, and it's because of that. The donations that go there, the technology that they have, it help him be him. Basically, you gave him a chance at
life. And he's made us live life a lot differently, you know, enjoying every moment.
We don't take life for granted now.
Boy, he's gonna know it all. He'll think he's 10 feet tall. Run like he's bulletproof and total a car, too.
No sweet story that was.
I was, I got a big picture of Lucas right behind us.
Yeah, in the studio.
Our Giveathon week, and there's a picture of him, and he's got a gigantic smile on his face and a little warrior heart shirt and wearing a big hat and everything. I mean, it just looks like the cutest kid. And 16 medications a day, 384 days on the NG tube. Heart was only working at 20% capacity, working overtime just to keep him going. life-threatening genetic disorder, Barth syndrome, and now he's doing well. And they credit all, you know, they credit it to the Phoenix Children's Hospital, knowing what Barth syndrome was and how to treat their child.
They had a plan before we knew there was a plan to have, was what the parents said. So another wonderful story and another opportunity for you now to call the Desert Financial Phone Bank. And we have a match going on right now, courtesy our friends at Train. Train will match your donations right now, dollar for dollar, when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. In honor of Lucas, we're asking you to become a champion of hope, in which you'll donate $20 a month, and you will see your donation matched by Train up to $6,500 when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. Gambo, are you ready for a tote board update?
I am ready for the update.
Let's give everybody an update. And the final totes for Monday, $268,651 so far. Way to go, Arizona. Good job. Fantastic job.
Great start. Long way to go.
Great start. Long way to go. And every time you become a champion of hope, we fire up the Train Teddy Bear Express, and we take a teddy bear upstairs to one of the kids at that hospital right now. You become a champion, Hope. You donate $20 a month, and we're going to take a teddy bear in your name up to one of those little kids right now at the hospital. You and I both got to participate in a virtual teddy bear delivery. Super cool experience. Technology and yet the heartwarming experience of giving a kid a teddy bear. So, again, the match is still going on. Train is matching your donations right now on the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567, 602-933-4567. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Luke Lipinski is coming up next with the rundown. We'll see you tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone.